Good afternoon. You're listening to On Blast on WPEB 88.1 FM with the Philadelphia Student Union. We are your hosts for today.
My name is Candace Carter.
And my name is Nazira Miller.
The Philadelphia Student Union is a youth-led nonprofit organization that is dedicated to education reform. We are a group of young people from Philadelphia Public Schools making changes in our education, doing political education and leadership development. On Blast is the only youth-led radio show in Philadelphia. That means the students do the interviews, edit, and produce segments, and host the show. We want to use the media as a tool to organize and liberate young people.
On Thursday, September 11th, members of the student union attended Mayor Nutter's speech at South Philly High School, explaining his vision for education in Philadelphia. He outlined a number of proposals aimed at having a 45% dropout rate and doubling the 18% college degree attainment rate within 7 years.
He called on parents to read to their children and to take more of an interest in their kids' lives, and to make sure they got plenty of sleep. He also asked them to be good role models. He wanted teachers to set higher standards and students to go to school and seek help when they need it. He called on the business community to create more jobs and internships for young people, and to not hassle workers for taking time off to drop their kids off at school and attend parent-teacher conferences.
As far as post-secondary education is concerned, he even suggested that area colleges and universities should give 1,000 full tuition scholarships to Philadelphia students. PSU had some thoughts on his vision for education. Candace, you were there on Thursday and heard the mayor's speech. What do you think about it?
When I was there, these thoughts came to mind. Why spend money on programs for keeping kids in school when you could spend that money on getting books for classes, books for students to read and learn during the school year? You have students in schools with literally 10 books for a class of 30 students. Students want to learn, but when they don't have books and supplies, when they don't have books, supplies, or materials, we lose interest in the class, but that doesn't mean we don't want to learn. We find it from somewhere else, places like student youth groups that try and help with getting books and supplies into the schools. In most cases, when students don't have the supplies and materials to learn during school, they are aggravated and are upset that they can't learn in class. When students ask why they can't get or don't have books for class, they are told that there isn't any money. But right now, you're using $200 million on programs we don't need. I am telling you right now that supplies and materials will keep students in schools. Spend that money on what we really need, and you will see change.
Wow, Candace, that sounded good. But up next, we'll hear a piece of production by several members of PSU. In the summer of 2007, the student union had their annual summer program, BAM, Building a Youth Movement. That year, some students learned interviewing skills and how to record using audio recorders. Other BAM participants were interviewed about what is student union and what we do. This is the audio piece from that, and this is also the first segment made at student union, so enjoy.
The Philadelphia Student Union.
Philly Student Union.
We're the Philadelphia Student Union.
We are the Philadelphia Student Union.
Philadelphia Student Union.
Philadelphia Student Union, and we believe that every student, including myself, all have a voice and have a say in what we can do.
I'm from the Philly Student Union, which is a group that organizes young people for social change, mainly around education. And so we're trying to make the school district a better place because, like, as you know, schools are pretty messed up in a lot of different ways.
The Philadelphia Student Union, what we believe in organizing, and we believe in a change that will help with what a messed up world that we have.
I'm with the Philadelphia Student Union. I'd like to say that we are an organization that will help give students powers.
We are the Philadelphia Student Union, a youth-led nonprofit organization that works on making changes in the school and the community to make it better.
Ashley, a member of PSU
High School. When I went there, there were many problems. They had locked doors, which is a fire hazard. Bathrooms aren't up and running. Like, in each bathroom, there's like one stall that works.
Aisha, another member.
Some problems that we had was with like the administrators at our school, like abusing power. We pretty much just had like a bunch of tyrants running around in our building. So like a bunch of students were getting suspended for things that they weren't like supposed to be getting suspended for and stuff. So I think that was one of the major problems in our school. So the student union check, we did a Know Your Rights campaign. Pretty much just letting the students know about things that they can get suspended for, what they can't get suspended for, just making the students cognizant about things that were going on and affecting their like school records or whatever.
Julius.
Some of the problems that we were facing is basically the climate of the school, what we had to go through doing a 5-day-a-week basis, you know, from the moment you go in, dealing with being harassed at the metal detectors that you had to go through and putting your bags through scanners, to actually going to your first class, and sometimes you had enough books and sometimes you didn't have enough books. And it's just basically a whole mess, you know, everybody being all up in your face with something as simple as not having your shirt tucked in. And that's really not, school is for school, and you're supposed to go there to learn, not worry about, you know, what you got on or how you wearing what you got on, you know.
Khalif, who is a sophomore.
We deal with the basic problems for every school, fighting, miscommunication, lack of materials and all that stuff. But the main problem is that there's no type of foundation, like no type of dialogue between the teachers and students, no type of dialogue between our staff and principals, like nothing. It's just like a whole lot of conflict and controversy because ain't nobody willing to step up, make change, and talk about the issues. Everybody thinking you sweep it under the rug, it's not going to change, and that's not true. You actually have to pull all the skeletons out the closet and actually talk about it and figure out how to fix this.
Phil, who is a member of PSU and organizer.
Teacher quality, we don't have equitable teachers, and what student union is here for is to fight for a change where we can make a difference and that'll help also change in society.
Nijmi Sirinko, the executive director of the Philadelphia Student Union.
Let me tell you a little bit about the history of the Philadelphia Student Union. The Philadelphia Student Union was started about 11 years ago, and the amazing thing is it was started by students themselves, who were angry about the low quality of education in the Philadelphia public school system. They were finding out that the schools just don't have enough money, that the school funding system is based on property taxes, which means that kind of neighborhood that you live in determines how much money your schools are going to have. They didn't think that this was fair. Very soon after the organization got started, large numbers of neighborhood high school students from North Philadelphia and West Philadelphia got involved because they were angry about the low quality of education they were receiving, the lack of interesting classes, the lack of teaching materials, and the building conditions that they had to be subjected to every day. The way the Philadelphia Student Union operates is that each school where we have a chapter, the students that are organizing will meet once a week after school in their school. There, they learn about leadership development, the root causes of social problems or political education, and organizing, which is how to bring people together to solve those problems. Over the years, using this model, we've had many successes, including getting more money for schools, getting textbooks, improving building conditions, getting working water fountains, improving relationships between students and staff members, protecting students' rights, preventing the school district from privatizing the central office, and preventing any high schools from being privatized. We also organized to get the school district to put in place student success centers in 10 high schools, which gives students greater access to college access, counseling, and computers. Over the years, we've had a lot of successes because we believe that if the public schools are going to move forward, young people are going to have to lead the way.
Asa, Julius, and Khalif talks about why they joined PSU.
I wanted to change in my school. That's why I joined.
I joined PSU because my friend invited me. And when I came to my first meeting, I saw instantly that PSU was really about something, that it was about people that were for a change, that they opened up your eyes. And it was amazing how much that I saw with my first meeting. After that first meeting, I was just hooked. I wanted to come back. And I wanted to be part of the movement to making a change too. So that's why I joined.
Okay, Mr. Eric came to my classroom when I was in Ms. Lamb class last year, and he was discussing some issues, and the way he put it was like, it's gonna take more than one person, and it has to be some type of dialogue and communication to change a lot of the things that's going on at West Philadelphia High School and throughout all schools. And the way he was saying it, it made me think about it, like, seriously, and I just wanted to, like, join the organization and see what it was about.
Leah from West Philadelphia High School explains the roots of the problem.
Racism, sexism, homophobia, and how they all basically are branches to one tree, and we have to get to the root of the problem, and basically, like, how instead of fighting with each other, we need to get to the root of the situation while we're upset, because we're not upset with each other, we're upset with the situation. So basically, we need to work together instead of fighting each other, work together and get to the root of the problem.
Here is Julius, Khalif, Nazir, and Greg about how you can get involved and make a change.
I know y'all don't like coming to school 5 days a week and having to feel like you don't have enough books, you don't need to come through a metal detector. Well, I'm here to tell you that there is a choice, and there's much more than what you're aware of. So how about join the student union? You know what we're about? This is what we're about. We're about showing people what's really out there, showing people that you actually have a voice to make a change and make everything better.
I'm here to say that today the way that we live in is society's way of living. Therefore, they're trying to put us on a fast track to jail. And what the Philadelphia Student Union is here to do is to stop that path and put you on a positive path, and therefore further your education.
It cares not only about you, but your education. It cares about you enough that to let you know that you're not getting the right education that you should be getting. And we're here to inform you how you can have a voice in it, and you can make a change in your own education.
We are an organization that will help give students powers. Students are always the ones saying that we need better books, we don't get the right education, so I'm here to help the organization help students get the power they need to get a better education.
That's right. Make your voice be heard and fight with the Philadelphia Student Union. You have been listening to the Philadelphia Student Union production. It's produced, written, and edited by the PSU audio team, Ruthless Ruth and Hot Phoenix.
KCD repping the PSU family.
Infamous Nah.
And special thanks to Nijmi, Dante, and especially the Bread and Roses Community Fund.
We just heard a piece about Philadelphia Student Union. Next, we'll hear about Unite Here and their campaign against Aramark. But first, let's take a music break. Stay tuned to On Blast.
I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Back when they thought pink polos would hurt the rock, before Cam got the shit to pop, the doors is closed. I felt like Bad Boy Street Team, I couldn't work the locks. Now let's go, take them back to the plan. Me and my mama hopped in that U-Haul van. Any pessimists, I ain't talk to them. Plus I ain't had no phone in my apartment. Let's take them back to the club. At least about an hour I stand online. I just wanted to dance. I went to Jacob an hour after I got my advance. I just wanted to shine. Jay's favorite line, dog, in due time. Now they look at me like, damn, dog, you what I am. A hip-hop legend. I think I died in an accident, 'cause this must be heaven. I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. Yeah. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Now let's take them high. To rock. Back when Slick Rick got the shit to pop, I'd do anything to say I got it. Damn, them new loafers hurt my pocket. Before anybody wanted K-West beats, me and my girls split the buffet at KFC. Dog, I was having nervous breakdowns. Like, man, these niggas that much better than me. Baby, I'm going on an airplane, and I don't know if I'll be back again. Sure enough, I sent the plane tickets, but when she came to kick it, things became different. Any girl I cheated on, sheets I skeeted on. Couldn't keep it at home, thought I needed a knee alone. I'm trying to right my wrongs, but it's funny them same wrongs help me write the song. Now, I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, you gon' touch the sky, you gon' touch the sky, baby girl, testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, you gon' touch the sky. Yes, 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 guess who's on third? Lupe still like looping the third. Here like here till I'm bitter on the curb. Peach fuzz buzz but bitter on the verge. Let's slow it down like river on the serb. Bottle shaped body like Mrs. Butterworth. But before you say another word, I'm back on the block like I'm laying on the street. I'm trying to stop lying like I'm Umbrella, but I'm not lying when I'm laying on the beat. On guard, a touche Lupe, cool as the unthaw. But I still feel possessed as a gun charge to come as correct as a porn star. And a fresh pair of steps and my best phone call. So I represent the first. Now let me end my verse right where the horns are. Like, I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, you gon' touch the sky. You gon' touch the sky, baby girl. Testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, yeah, you gon' touch the sky.
We back at home, baby.
Sky high. Yeah. I'm sky high.
The world keeps suspending, yeah, world keeps suspending, the world.
What are you eating?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you not like the food at your school? One of the students says food at his school tastes like tea bags. So who supplies our food? The company name is Aramark. PSU doesn't like Aramark. After not giving millions of dollars owed to the school district and their crappy food, this segment is about Unite Here, one of PSU ally organizations, and their campaign against Aramark. Dan Jones, a PSU member, produced this piece.
Unite Here is a union that has mobilized workers from hotels, restaurants, manufacturing, retail, casinos, laundries, airports, and other workplaces to make great strides in the fight to build worker power. They are currently engaged in a campaign for Aramark employees. Aramark has its headquarters in downtown Philadelphia and is one of the biggest food service employers in the city.
Aramark decided about a year ago that they wanted to become nasty and to become worse than they'd ever been related to their relationship with our union. And we began to get their attention. They began to see that workers in the food service and the laundry and the airport sectors in Philadelphia were not going to accept status quo. Well, now today is the culmination of beginning that process and making sure that going forward, neither Aramark is going to take the workers in these industries for granted, and nor should we take for granted our power and our strength.
So what we did is we're having an action to put together so that we can kind of like show Aramark like our strength in numbers so that we can get a good contract for all these people, like as far as healthcare is concerned, better hours, because the conditions in a lot of these places are actually pretty poor, and worker mistreatment is common among workers with Aramark. So that's why we've gotten this huge turnout of workers who basically have a lot of issues they want to bring to the table and get a contract that like helps them and their families.
Anybody in this room not want to see change at Aramark? Who wants to see change at Aramark? All right. So who thinks this is going to be easy?
No.
Who's ever been to Free Money Day at Aramark? They hold that tight. I'm going to squeeze in every last one of you here for it.
In terms of like the union dealing with Aramark, they've been pretty difficult. And the whole point of this meeting is just to get workers on page and mobilized and to actually learn how to utilize the union as a real force within their workplace. And the goal we hope to achieve here is just to find like leaders within their workplace.
As a part of starting that campaign and identifying those leaders, Unite Here held a Justice Committee meeting that all workers were invited to. Those that came made sure that their grievances with Aramark were made clear.
Hi, I'm Regina James, and I'm one of the people who helped organize on this campaign. And I'm from Local 634, which is the cafeteria in the school district. This fight is to gain respect, benefits, increase the wages, and protect our members at the three centers that we have, which is the Link, Citizen Bank Park, and the Spectrum. We demand Aramark to stop letting these employees pay for their benefits, their health insurance. You know, you have 1,500 employees that has to pay for insurance. That don't make sense when you could get a group deal discount on a good insurance, whereas though you could supply it for them. We also demanded them to give them respect and also a stable living wage. And they don't do that, then we got to boycott them, right? Well, I had a couple experiences with them as far as when they did come to the school district and how they changed the quality of the food just to save money and cutbacks on the hours just to save money. To the day, they still say that the school district owed them $10 million. I don't know how, because I didn't see $10 million worth of money being spent. That's a smack in the face. That's like, you ain't worth it. Nothing. I just want to use and abuse you. So basically, we trying to let people know this is not going to happen anymore. It needs to stop. Give them respect. Give them what they worth.
Why don't they start realizing what they're doing and how we feel, start treating us with respect and dignity like they're supposed to, instead of looking at their pockets and ignoring us?
it's hard to read your pay stuff as far as your wages and your increases. But on a serious note, you remember one time you used to read your pay stuff, it was easier to read. You know what your hours was? Now you got all this garbage that you like, what the hell is this?
We all think that everyone needs health care benefits and pension. And those of us who do have benefits have to step out up and help as many people as possible in this union to get benefits.
We have a couple of guys that sat here and said they work in the kitchen in a closed-in area where they can't get no air, no breathing, no nothing. That's part of health care. If they get sick, who's going to pay for it?
That's right.
Basically, who's going to pay for it? If we don't have health care, something happened to them, who's responsible for that?
We need the health care. I don't have surgery, and I most definitely need health care.
Oh, we want wage increases, real ones, because these could be serious middle class jobs. There's no reason we have to be working poor here.
Health benefits. We want them. We don't have them. We want them. We want more money, just like everybody else. We want money.
We want what we're entitled to.
We want respect.
Yeah.
We work holidays.
That's a holiday.
Holiday.
We work in a holiday. We're supposed to get paid holiday.
Ask me, what's the problem with everybody? I said, well, as time went on, after we got the money good for them, I started in 85. Everything was cool. You know, you had pretty good. As time went on, they got powerful and more powerful. They got more arrogant over the years. And all of a sudden, everything is hard to obtain. You know, healthcare was better back then. All of a sudden, each year it got worse and worse. So they didn't want to actually give me anything. So that's why we're here. And that's why I was surprised to see a couple of my people from Wachovia, but I'm glad to see them here. But that's why actually why we're here. We're not here because of what we're down here for. Because these people are treating us like garbage. There you go. Right now, you know.
Aramark says they offer health care, but really what they do is they only offer it to certain workers. For example, one of the things that Aramark has done to some of these people is that in order to have health care for just yourself, you have to be a full-time worker and work 40 hours a week. But what they do is they'll have like someone work at, say, the Wachovia Center and the Citizens Bank Park for like twice in a week. Okay, and say they get like 25 hours at CBP and like another 25 at the Wachovia Center. Aramark will consider them part-time at both places and not give them health care and not give them overtime. They also do that to people who are just seasonal workers. If they're just seasonal workers, they don't get health care. So that's the biggest one that I'd say is on the table. Another one is definitely overtime and better pay. The living wage here in Philly is close to about $20, which is... It's a high rate of living here in Philly, and they're getting paid about anywhere from $8 an hour to the highest I've heard is about $11. So I see it ending when we settle like a decent contract with Aramark. But in reality, like we're also working for a broader scope. We're trying to cultivate leadership in the union itself, because what we want to get out to workers is that the union is not a third party. The union is some people compare it to like a gym membership. If you don't use it, it won't work for you. And so when we leave here, we want to have that kind of like base of leadership and camaraderie among the workers so that they can fight for their own rights and what they see as best for their workplace. So
the workers knew what they wanted to see from Aramark in their workplace, but they also knew what it would take to force Aramark to make those changes.
We need to know our employer. The less you know, the more powerful they are. So we need to know who we're dealing with and what their methods are.
We want teamwork and unity amongst the employees.
That's right.
We don't want nepotism and favoritism. Right. And don't be bought. Your manager shall give you extra shift, don't take it.
We have to come as one. We are one family. We are an individual. We are one.
Better communication. We need to be able to talk with one another. One of the things that was suggested was we need really good bulletin boards. There has to be a union bulletin board. It's got to be someplace where everybody can see it. If you can find your time clock, you should be able to find your union bulletin.
We've had a lack of communication. We've had apathy, and we've had a lot of fear.
And we've also had some ignorance. We've got to get up past the ignorance and come up with solutions. Okay.
We're going to have to get together as a people. We're going to have to get together as a people and stop this. Because all this is some shakalaka fool.
This is just a small part of an even larger movement that needs to take place here in America as a whole. But this is definitely a part of it. And the thing is because, you know, a lot of jobs have been outsourced. You know, you have industry steelworking jobs. A lot of those have left Philadelphia. And but the one thing they can outsource is service working jobs. And it's one of the biggest employers of workers here in the city and across the nation. And Aramark itself is making record profit. They're worth about $30 billion, the company. They raked in $17 billion last year. And basically none of that's coming down to the workers. And it's kind of ridiculous that that a woman with, you know, four kids can't have any health insurance whatsoever and be considered a part-time employee when Joseph Neubauer, the CEO of Aramark, is raking in billions of dollars. So I think that this is an important fight, and it's going to be a long struggle, but hopefully with the increase of wages, we can improve working standards and standards for families everywhere.
This has been Dan Jones for On Blast Radio with the Philadelphia Student Union.
If you're just tuning in, this is On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union. Now we're going to hear some recent news about the school district.
In late August, the Pennsylvania Department of Education released this year's list of persistently dangerous schools, all of which are in Philadelphia. The number of persistently dangerous schools in Philadelphia has jumped from 12 to 20, a two-thirds increase, the list including 13 high schools. Two high schools, University City and Bartram, has been taken off. Four high schools, William Penn, Strawberry Mansion, Edison, and Allen E. West, has been added.
High schools that have been on the list both this year and last year include Frankfort, Germantown, Lincoln, King, Overbrook, Fells, South Philly, Fitzsimons, and West Philly. What's more interesting is the number of middle schools on the list. Last year, there was just one, Stinson. This year, the number has jumped to seven. Stinson plus six new schools: Shaw, Vare, Gillespie, Clemente, Turner, and Vaux.
The student union has students at several of these schools. We believe that these schools are some of the many underfunded and under-resourced schools, and that's a reason these schools are in this situation.
Stay tuned for another student-produced piece after this. And remember to subscribe to our podcast and listen to our show online. Go to www.onblast.podomatic.com.
Shovel, Cupid, shovel, Cupid.
New Cupid, shovel, new Cupid, Cupid. January 2nd, 2007. Time for a change.
Somebody go. Hey. I just let the music come from my soul, so all of my people can stay on the floor. They got a brand new dance. You gotta move your muscles. Oh. Brand new dance. Huh? It's called a Cupid Shuffle. Hey. It don't matter if you're young or you're old.
Here we go.
We gonna show you how. Hey.
Now walk
let me see
you do.
Down, down,
do
your dance.
Come on,
let me see.
talking about. Uh-huh. I represent for the dirty south. We're known for swinging out. I'm gonna show you what I'm talking about. Come on, baby, kick. Now walk it by yourself. Walk it by yourself. To the right, to the right, to the right, the right, the right. The left, to the left, to the left, the left, the left. Now kick, now kick, now kick, now kick. Now walk it by yourself.
Here we go.
And do the Cupid shuffle.
Now let me see you do the
Cupid shuffle.
Now let me see you do the.
It's your boy Cupid, see you beat the oddity. Mr. Fett on the track. Got another hit.
Here we go. Hey.
Down, down, do your dance, do your dance.
Come on, come on.
Down, down, do your dance, do your dance.
Let me see you.
Down, down, do your dance, do your dance.
Do your dance.
Down, down, do your dance, do your dance. Down, down, do your dance.
We got a brand new dance.
Kick a swing out, baby.
We got a brand new sound.
Down, down, do your dance.
We got a brand new feel.
Down, down, do your dance.
We got a brand new.
We coming, so get ready for the brand new style.
You better watch out, cause we coming.
We got another one, Mr. Fett. You.
The next interview was recorded by Eric Yates during PSU's emerging trip this summer. Our emerging trip took 10 of our members to visit organizations outside of Philly who are doing work to end poverty. One of the groups was the United Workers in Baltimore. Eric talked to one of the organizers and created this segment.
My name is Greg Rosenthal. I'm a leadership organizer with the United Workers Association. The United Workers is a human rights organization that is fighting to end poverty in Baltimore and the human rights of everyone everywhere throughout the United States. The United Workers, we organize around the values of human rights, and the leaders and members of this organization are poor people that live in Baltimore City. Our first campaign was at Camden Yards, which was the largest employer of day laborers. And, you know, workers were being paid poverty wages amongst other human rights violations. And what they decided was to, you know, to fight against what was happening at the stadium, they needed to develop a human rights organization and demand their human right to a living wage. Now, this is just one campaign that the United Workers focused on in order to begin to enlarge the struggle for movement to end poverty. And what the result was, after 3 years of fighting and a really hard struggle, workers finally won their human right to a living wage and are now working at the stadium for that living wage.
Can you tell me a little more about your philosophy on human rights?
One of the values that we hold very close to us is sanctity of human life, that every human deserves basic human rights. And so we organize the poor across color lines, across language barriers, and across gender. And what human rights means to us is articulated in the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The economic human rights that stick out to us and that we organize around are the right to adequate housing, the right to adequate education, the right to food, the right to water, the right to work with dignity, which is at a living wage. These are some of the basic human rights that every person deserves and that are routinely violated within the United States, and specifically were rooted in Maryland. Our roots come from Dr. King in his final year, 1968, was part of developing the Poor People's Campaign. And he started talking, went from talking about just race to talking about race and class. So he was talking about poverty. And it was at that time where he said, okay, we need to start having poor folks unite to fight against poverty, that he was killed. And it's in that tradition, and in the tradition of Harriet Tubman, along the route of the Underground Railroad, fighting to end the ultimate form of slavery, poverty slavery, that we find our inspiration and are part of creating a movement to end a new form of slavery, poverty.
You talked about how your organizing is done by poor people. How does that fit into your vision?
The organization itself, it's the very nature of it is to create a movement to end poverty. We believe that the only way to do that is for the people that are most affected by poverty to be the leaders within that movement. And so in order for to create a movement to end poverty, the leaders must be the poor. And they're the ones that know when poverty is ended, and they're the ones that are able to make change. In the growth of poverty has just been tremendous, and folks that, you know, were once considered in the middle class are now in poverty. And so there's clearly a growing movement throughout the United States to make this change and to obtain the human rights of people everywhere.
Okay, can you go in depth a little bit about how you guys started in the foundation?
The United Workers was started out in an abandoned firehouse turned homeless shelter in Baltimore City. Everyone in that shelter obviously was homeless and was working through temp agencies, and they began to have discussions around what are the root causes of poverty? Why are we in this situation? Why are we homeless? And part of the understanding was that the only way for folks to get work, to get employment, was to go through temp agencies and to do day labor, which is paying folks poverty wages, and they couldn't afford housing and were being denied medical care, which was, you know, part of a larger cycle of forcing them into the shelters and forcing them into poverty. And so what they decided to do was form a human rights organization where they would be the leaders in the fight to end poverty. And part of the vision that they set forth was what is this organization, which is that it's led by the poor. And the direction of the organization and the campaigns of the organization are led by those very same people.
Can you tell us a little more about your campaigns?
Well, obviously, poverty is a very large issue, and the stadium was just one area that was, you know, playing a large contribution to poverty in Baltimore. And a lot of the jobs, the manufacturing jobs that paid living wages, have left. They're no longer in Baltimore. And so what's left for folks is poverty wage jobs based in the tourist industry. So at the stadium and at the harbor, for example. And so folks are forced in a situation where the only work they can get is through a temp agency, where, you know, the human rights violations are rampant. And part of what we're doing is understanding the system which is rooted in exploiting poor folks. And the way to end that is creating a movement. You know, like the movement to end slavery, the movement for civil rights, the movement for the right to vote for women.
And a little bit on the gentrification in Baltimore, because, well, in Philadelphia we have University of Pennsylvania, but I'm a little bit aware about Johns Hopkins, but not as much. Can you shed light on that a little bit?
I actually lived in Philly for a year, so I'm kind of familiar with the role that that Penn played there. But it's really similar to what's going on in Baltimore. Johns Hopkins is a private university, and they're actually the largest employer in not only in Baltimore, but in Maryland. And they own so much of the land here. And part of what they're doing is taking over large tracts of land in East Baltimore where a lot of poor folks live, buying up housing, letting it, boarding it up, letting it sit, and then tearing it down for their own projects. So folks are, you know, rapidly being displaced. The neighborhood where our office is in East Baltimore is rapidly, poor folks are being forced out. And who's coming in is folks who used to be in the suburbs are now returning to the city. But what we're seeing is that, you know, there's the housing that they're creating for wealthy folks, they're not able to fill. And the folks who are being displaced are organizing. And so there's a growing effort to you know, go against these, you know, huge, you know, corporations or universities that are trying to take the city from people.
Okay, thanks.
The piece you just heard was about the United Workers in Baltimore. Let's bring it back to Philly with some news about our schools.
A recent Inquirer article mentioned that Philadelphia School District started school last week with 166 teacher vacancies. This is more than double the number of teacher vacancies at the start of last year. A district spokesperson says that hiring will continue, but it may take a while to fill some spots.
One contributing factor may be that teachers' contracts are up for negotiation this year. With the deadline extended to the end of October, the Inquirer article stated that Jerry Jordan, the president of Philadelphia Federation of Teachers, said that there are often more requirements and negotiations in contracts this year.
While this year being a contract year may be a factor, it's also very clear that school funding plays a major role. Many wealthier suburban districts have the resources to pay many teachers more money, providing them with more materials and support, create smaller class sizes for them to teach, and give them better buildings to teach in. Poor districts like Philadelphia, Upper Darby, and Chester Upland has less money and thus can't compete with wealthier districts. This often leaves these poorer districts with more teacher vacancies and less qualified teachers.
Here's a poem that was written and performed by Amber Marie Felton.
So they're handing out immunizations. Don't worry, because they're free. But I'm a little skeptical. They change the way you see. It's a change so slow that you can't catch it. Try and grasp it. The moment you were disgusted by a homeless man's laziness, the craziness on Fox not making you gasp, cry. In our classrooms, we stopped asking why. Still interested in these inoculations? Well, here's the stations. At work, our schools, your homes. Ain't that convenient? Yeah, they're real lenient. They think we'll all get them soon. And no needle needed. It's the information they're feeding. To me and you, my mother, your brother, they're saving us all. From ourselves, from each other, for them. You see, these immunizations are making us immune to the hardships of the struggling who are juggling with the isms. We're locked in prisons. Now listen. They are not doing this for us. These doctors are so drugged up with power and greed that they just don't care. And they don't want none of us nowhere to really stop and stare and take it all in. Because when we finally inhale, we're going to change things. So nobody tell me I'm the future because I see what's going on. They're giving me time that I don't have. They're waiting till the day when I get fed up and shut up. Well, I'll tell you what. I am sick. We do need a cure, but the cure is not their lies. It's some chicken noodle soup while we unshield our eyes. And I know it's going to hurt when the truth hits me, because we've been kept from inspiring pain for far too long. But when poverty can finally crawl down my throat and strangle my heart's going to keep bumping, jumping for a reason. Season to season, we'll be rallying, protesting up in the legislators' faces. We will be seen, we will be heard, and yes, one day soon, those who try to numb us to what living really is will feel. We are the now because that's all the time we have.
You have been listening to On Blast. This is just a taste of what Student Union does. To learn more about our campaigns and events, check out our new website at www.phillystudentunion.org.
You can also email us at onblast@phillystudentunion.org. You can also find us at on MySpace and Facebook. And to subscribe to our podcast and listen to our show online, go to www.onblast.podomatic.com.